Looking back at the past 40 years of progress between Christians of once bitterly divided churches and looking forward to ways of strengthening cooperation and evangelization, especially amongst young people today. Those themes are at the heart of a meeting of the Joint Working Group of the Catholic Church and the World Council of Churches, which opened on Monday. The week-long meeting, taking place in Córdoba, Spain, is due to conclude with a Mass in the city's cathedral on Sunday. Amongst those taking part on the Catholic side is the Secretary of the Pontifical Council for Promoting Christian Unity, Bishop Brian Farrell. He told me more about the themes that are under discussion at this plenary meeting.
We have four themes on our agenda, which we hope to study in depth and begin to produce some clearer ideas on. The first theme is the question of reception. What by that we mean, how do we bring into the real life of the churches the progress that has been made in ecumenical dialogue down the years? This is important because today people often say that ecumenism is a question of experts and theological discussions, and has little real effect on many people in different parts of the world, whereas in other places it's quite part of the ordinary life of parish communities and associations and so forth. The second theme is on the spiritual roots of ecumenism. In other words, what is it that the coming together of divided Christians in prayer, in conversion, purifying the historical memories that have led to division and have kept these divisions going down the centuries, what is it that will produce effects from the grace of reconciliation, justice, and peace that comes to us from the gospel? The third theme is migration, because today, all over the world, and most especially here in Europe, we have a whole new situation of the presence of different churches because of the huge migration of people from one part to another. In the West here, we have now a new presence, a multiplied presence of the Eastern churches. We have in many places for the first time a certain plurality of Christian traditions, and all of this has great effects on the life of the local churches. So that's one point that we have to deal with. And then the fourth point would be this huge challenge for all churches, which is how to transmit the faith to the younger generations and how should their presence in the church be fostered and helped. So as you can see, we have a full agenda for this week of the plenary of the Joint Working Group between the Catholic Church and the World Council of Churches.
You're talking about transmitting the faith to young people. The World Council of Churches, of course, has a new young or relatively young General Secretary-elect. I'm wondering if that is going to be sort of affecting the work and the atmosphere there.
Well, it's one of the things that we take account of. It doesn't have any immediate effect on the work, but we look forward to the time when he will take over as General Secretary at the beginning of next year, and we will be working closely with him. He has already expressed the desire to deepen and to continue, first of all, and to deepen the relationship with the Catholic Church. So we're looking forward to that.
You're talking also about ways in which ecumenical progress can be taken, if you like, away from the theologians and out into the streets amongst people whose lives it actually affects. Are you talking about any really practical ways, new ways and creative ways in which this can be done?
Well, this is the whole point of the discussion here, to see how within the differences, within the different structures, within the different teaching, authoritative structures of the churches, the good results of the ecumenical movement can be made much more effective, because it would be most harmful if all of the things that have been agreed upon in 40 years of dialogue are left on library shelves. Ecumenism is for the life of the churches. It's not a question of solving theological puzzles or answering difficult questions. It is about the unity of the church in Christ, and that means living our unity in Christ. So it's essential for the life of the churches. And nobody can say, this is not my concern, this is not my business, because as long as we're divided, we're a scandal, and we are depriving the church, let's say, of the energies that it might have to fulfill its mission in the world.
You mentioned also the question of migration, and in many countries, the church quite often finds itself, if you like, rather speaking out as a voice against the prevailing political attitudes regarding migration.
Well, of course, this is often the case in Europe, especially. But yes, we feel that we have a different message to convey. Every human person has a dignity that must be respected in every circumstance. And on this basis, then, the laws and the reglementation of immigration should, of course, be based. And we realize that within the present circumstances of the world, and with all the deficiencies of our cultural heritages, we often find that there is no space for these new arrivals. And this is something that would not agree with the gospel, and therefore we have to find ways to exhort society to come to a more humane and a more Christian way of looking at these things.
My thanks there to Bishop Brian Farrell, Secretary of the Pontifical Council for the Promotion of Christian Unity. And finally, the head of the Council for Christian Unity, Cardinal Walter Kasper, on Thursday presented a new book looking at the fruits of ecumenical dialogue over the past 40 years. Entitled Harvesting the Fruits, the book looks at progress made between Catholic, Anglican, Lutheran, Methodist and Reformed theologians. Yet this formal aspect is just one of the many paths being pursued, as the Cardinal explained to journalists gathered in the Vatican Press Office.
Ecumenism is a many-layered reality. There is the dialogue, the theological dialogue, and this book reflects the theological dialogue. But the theological dialogue is not possible without dialogue in prayer, dialogue with God. And I, according to my personal experience, every dialogue does fail if there is not a common prayer. But this is not reflected in this book, so this book limits itself to the theological dimension, but we do it in our dialogues very often. And the same is true for liturgy. When I take part in a Lutheran mass, especially in the States, but also in an Anglican liturgy, I have to be very, very careful to listen what are the differences. There are some words which are different, but it's very similar because I had also a liturgical reform after our reform, and the reforms are very, very close to each other. But nevertheless, there are differences in the understanding, still different understanding of the Eucharist, especially about the sacrificial character of the Eucharist. And so, well, this is expressed here in a doctrinal way, but well, there are also other dimensions of ecumenism that's clear, but you cannot do all in one book, and we had to do a lot with this book, and so the other belongs more to the living reality of ecumenism, which is there, and we are very grateful that it is there.
Thanks to Cardinal Walter Kasper, President of the Pontifical Council for the Promotion of Christian Unity.